Brighty on TV Update with Mike Adams.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighttown.tv. Today, our guest is Karen Kingston, and she has a shocking message for us today with a new article, a template letter that she's published on Substack, which talks about the multiple points that show that the vaccine industry and the FDA conspired to unleash a biological weapon, an actual weapon of mass destruction against humanity. And Karen Kingston today is calling for law enforcement in the state of Florida to confiscate every remaining COVID-19 vaccine that exists in the state. And in addition, she agrees with the idea that those who made these biological weapons available should be investigated and potentially arrested for their felony crimes. It's powerful, it's shocking, and it's all factual. So stay with us right here on Brighttown.tv. We'll be right back with Karen Kingston with that mind-blowing story. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
Hey, this is David McPherson, founder and CEO of Movie Night, and I've just been interviewed on Brighttown TV, where I love the uncensored truth. Thank you.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
That Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
So, Hey y'all, Curtis Grimes here, and you can check out what we have going on at curtisgrimes.com and also over at 10fingerministry.com to see all the cool stuff that God has in the works going on regarding our ministry. And I appreciate the folks here at Brighteon TV and the uncensored truth you can get right here.
Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video platform. And today we're joined by another free speech champion and also an analyst, researcher, remarkable woman. Her name is Karen Kingston. You know her. We've interviewed her before. Her Substack is KarenKingston.substack.com. And she joins us today with a new demand letter that you will find to be really, well, to contain bombshell information. A demand letter for all the counties in the state of Florida to immediately remove COVID-19 vaccine bioweapons from their counties. Welcome to the show today, Karen. It's always an honor to have you back on.
Thanks for having me, Mike. It's an honor to be here. And I'm excited to share, you know, my med legal analysis with your audience. As I mentioned to you before we started recording, I think a lot of people, if they follow me, they know I've been working with a lot of the residents in Florida. You know, I've met with county commissioners, I met with sheriffs down there, and then I started, you know, reaching out to other states as well. I did a call a few weeks ago with some people in Colorado, and I wrote this demand letter for them, and then the folks in Florida said, hey, you know, we want a copy of that as well. So they really are taking action. We're not going to be rescued by the federal government, obviously. And even, you know, the leaders at the state level, we're not seeing the type of action that we need to protect our communities.
Right.
Yeah. I know your Attorney General Paxton, he started a civil investigation, you know, into Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. But and that's fantastic. I mean, I applaud him for that. But at the end of the day, that these injections, by definition, are bioweapons. They are harmful, toxic injections that cause disease, disabilities, and death, and they need to be removed from the community. The same way, if you knew that there was a bomb in your child's building, you would go to your sheriff and say, get the bomb out of the building. You don't need a permission from anybody.
Exactly, exactly. Really important point you're making right there. So you make an excellent point here, Karen. If there were a dirty bomb that were in a city, or even these days, just a mysterious package, right? Then law enforcement would come in and maybe have a bomb squad, and maybe they would try to remove that. You would hope, especially if they knew that it was going to kill or harm or maim individuals. And yet we have bioweapons in these COVID-19 so-called vaccines, which are not really vaccines. These bioweapons are present in every pharmacy, in every hospital, and they are killing people and they are maiming people and they're disabling people by the millions in America right now. So let's walk through your demand letter. I have it up on my screen right now. Let's show that demand letter. It's on your website, KarenKingston.substack.com. Let's walk through that.
Yeah, let's definitely go through that. And just let people know, you know, I am a med legal advisor. I used to run med legal meetings for companies like Pfizer and Allergan and whatnot. So this letter is a little bit lengthy, but it is a, you know, if you will, a legalese letter. So the opening is just an example. I just explain what I'm doing. We can keep scrolling through. I just explained that this is an example demand letter for Florida. And then the opening part, you would fill in yourself. It's got two. It has, you know, from your address, and then the demand is clearly there. And then I explain how you can address everyone. Let's say you want to write it to your school board. You list out everyone's name in the school board, and then you go hereafter referred to as the school board. That way you don't have to keep listing out their names. But let's just go straight now into the 12 key pieces of evidence. And the first one is...
I'm on point one, yeah.
Yeah. A biological agent or device or medical or product that does not prevent infection, does not protect it against disease, was not done under legitimate research, and these were not, is by definition a bioweapon. So we're going to go through those points. So point number one is they don't prevent infection. In Pfizer's data, which is straight from their phase 3 data. So again, one of the part of the definition of a biological weapon is that it doesn't prevent infection and it doesn't protect against disease. So Pfizer submitted to the FDA on September 17th of 2021 a post hoc analysis on their phase three data. And what they did, I think most people, I believe, are aware of this, but, you know, they had the group that was injected with their mRNA technology, and then they had a placebo group. But around, you know, in December of 2020, they began injecting the placebo group. And what they found was when they compared the two groups to one another, these are Pfizer's words. It says, our additional analysis appears to indicate that the incidence of COVID-19 generally increased in each group of study participants with increasing time post dose two. And there's a screenshot. It's directly from their documents. So wow. They're saying once you get two doses, your risk for COVID-19 increases. And that is what it means. That's exactly what that means. And this was validated on the next slide in here in the Cleveland Clinic. So the Cleveland Clinic did an analysis of 51,000 employees. Some got zero shots, some got one, two, and some got three or more shots. So they began getting the boosters. Yeah.
Right. The more doses they received, the worse it became.
Yeah. So what they did is they took the time from the last dose over a 90-day period. And what they found is over a 90-day period, if let's say you had two doses versus zero, then you had a threefold increase of getting infected. Now, if you had gotten a booster or two, that went up to a fourfold increase over a 90-day period versus not getting injected. So the more shots you get, the more likely you're going to come down with disease, a disease that they're calling COVID-19.
Okay. Extraordinary, but yes.
Yeah. So the other thing I want to talk about is that this is not a vaccine. And this whole concept that we can play around with the definition of a vaccine is a bunch of nonsense. Mike, there's a thing called a package insert where you get your indication. So when Pfizer got their FDA approval, they have to state what their vaccine does. So you can't tell me this nonsense about it doesn't prevent infection, because in the package insert, it says right there that Comirnaty, you know, or the mRNA vaccines by Pfizer are to prevent corona COVID-19 disease caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's what it's for. It's to prevent the disease caused by the virus. So it is to prevent infection and transmission. It's in their definition. And that's what they're legally bound to. And they fail to meet that definition.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not good to play their games about the changing definition of a vaccine. It's best to use what they're legally bound to, which is what's in that package insert and what's also in their studies.
Generally speaking, people believe that a vaccine is supposed to inhibit infection and transmission. I mean, that's what it's supposed to do. And this does not do that. Therefore, it is not a vaccine.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, you know, if you were working for Pfizer and defending them, you may want to try to throw in these weird definitions of vaccines that it's not even worth, you know, you just say, no, cut it out. That's nonsense. You know what the definition of a vaccine is. It's here in your labeling. It's in your clinical trials over and over again. So that's important. And they fail to meet that definition. So they don't prevent infection, we just showed, and we keep going through. We're also going to show that they don't prevent serious disease.
Okay, so that's point four in your mm-hmm. document here, that it increases the risk.
Yeah, for severe disease and hospitalization. So this whole concept that, you know, you're less likely to be hospitalized, that's a bunch of nonsense, too, when you look at Pfizer's actual data. So they said within 1 week of their first or second dose in the data they submitted in November 2020, 409 people came down with COVID-19 cases that could have masked clinically significant adverse events, right? So these were severe cases. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our vaccine or a virus that caused it. It was their injection that caused it.
Of course, yeah.
But they're calling it COVID-19 that wasn't diagnosed. Right?
Right.
So that's just some more evidence that it caused severe disease. And that is defined as, there's a full definition below under the initial new drug application. If you keep going down, you know, low oxygen levels, respiratory failure, being put on a ventilator, liver failure, kidney failure, neurological dysfunction, admission to the ICU or death. And they're saying, we're not sure if it was our shot or it was a virus. And it happened within 1 week. Yeah. So that's more evidence. And then also we know that all the COVID-19 injections cause stroke, heart attack, autoimmune disease, miscarriages, birth defects, blood clotting, myocarditis, inflammatory syndrome, and other diseases and death.
Yes.
So, yeah. So this slide is very powerful because this shows that they knew these were going to be the outcomes. And if you go on, this also shows that they knew, both Pfizer, the FDA, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna knew that they were breaking the law in regards to FDA safety trials, because this is in violations. You keep going down, 21 USC 312.41. Keep going down. And what that says is that in a phase one trial, if human subjects are going to be put to at an unreasonable risk, you need to stop the trial.
Okay, so criminal human experimentation on civilians, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is a really, thank you for reading the subtitles that I put up there, because that's a really important point to make, is that, you know, 21 USC is the Food and Drug Consumer Protection Act, and it's put in place so that pharmaceutical companies don't engage in criminal experimentation on adults and children, meaning the product has to be, the benefits have to outweigh the risks, right?
Right.
And people are like, well, what is a safe product? It's very easily defined, Mike. It's the FDA defines it as the benefits of the product outweigh the risks. So if there's going to be more harm, then that product is not safe. And if they, and Pfizer knew, and all the pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies knew that these injections were going to cause neurological disorders, you know, paralysis, myocarditis, death, autoimmune disease. They knew this was going to happen at a high rate. You know, we saw 409 people within 1 week came down with some kind of severe diseases. That's 2% of that population right there. So they engaged in criminal human experimentation. This is in violation of, and to pretend that they have immunity is in violation of the Fifth and 14th Amendment. No one shall be deprived of your life without due process of law. It's in violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's in violation of Geneva Convention. So this is right out of Mengele. This is right out of World War II experimentation. It's important that people understand that because when they knew this was going to cause more harm, they immediately engaged in a criminal act.
Well, but I agree with you, of course. But knowing that that was a criminal act, shouldn't these FDA officials, frankly, face arrest if they set foot in Florida? I mean, shouldn't Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, actually order Florida law enforcement to arrest FDA officials if they set foot in the state?
I agree with that statement, and they should arrest the individuals at Pfizer who were on the independent review committee. I have those names. It was in the data dump. So the individuals, the scientists that oversaw Pfizer's phase 1, 2, and 3 trials, they should all be charged with a class 1 felony in the state of Florida,
right,
for conspiring an attempted murder, you know, with use of a bioweapon and enabling access to a bioweapon by civilian adults and children. So maybe, I agree the FDA is also.
Maybe we can entice them to come to Florida by promising like a Disney pedophile party or something, and then they would come down, and then DeSantis could just jump in.
Only if they get their booster, then they can go on the ride. They've got to get their booster shot, though, right?
Right, exactly. No, I mean, but these, I mean, jokes aside, these are some serious criminals who have mass murdered, in my view, a large number of people. And it may come down to the states to be able to actually carry out the arrests and indictment of these individuals.
It should. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Merrick Garland's not going to do anything, you know, so right, that's never going to happen. So it is going to have to come down to the state level. But I think we're going to need a ground up. We're going to need a ground up swelling. So it's going to take local community members to speak to their law enforcement and to speak to their county commissioners and to speak to their school boards and create a groundswell.
So I agree. And point seven then continues with this, that you say the FDA knowingly placed adults and children at unnecessary risk for injury or death from using a harmful and toxic agent. So here we go, even more of a criminal offense.
So there's this other misinformation, false information out there that the emergency use authorization laws provide immunity to the FDA and Pfizer. And that's straight from their guidance. And it's also in the laws that based on their known evidence, they have to determine that the benefits outweigh the risks. So they have to determine that the product is safe. It's in black and white. They knew that these products weren't safe. So they broke their own immunity shields because they ignored the laws that regulate the biologics, vaccine, and medical device industry.
So all it would take is what? The proper court to recognize that this immunity shield is null and void?
To get the, well, if we,
I mean,
what my goal has been since day one is to stop the, to stop children and adults from being injected with these toxic weapons, right? So the point of this letter is, you know, a sheriff can actually seize these, in law enforcement, can seize the shots without a warrant if they understand the information.
And that's what you're calling for, is for law enforcement to go throughout counties across Florida and seize these biological weapons that are labeled COVID-19 vaccines.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So okay. we can maybe wrap up the last few points.
Yeah, point eight.
As it gets to.
Pfizer and the FDA knowingly place children at unnecessary risk. That's.
Oh, well, this is a good point. But so this is an important point. So they met in June of 2021 to discuss the pediatric studies. And it says right in their own document that to conduct a clinical trial with children to prove reduced infection in the vaccinated children versus unvaccinated would be infeasible, would be impossible because children don't get infected.
Right.
So there was no risk for the children to begin with. So they can only put them at risk by injecting them. And then it's the next point that is the most damning point that always makes my blood boil, I believe. The November 20th, 2020. So a lot of people thought that was just for 16 years of age and adults and older. But there was a couple thousand children. They looked at data from 100 children ages 12 to 15. And they submitted that on November 20th. And it says the reactogenicity data. So that's those severe adverse events from 100 children ages 12 to 15. Right there, it says, does not support a benefit risk determination. Therefore, it's not presented in the document. Pfizer gave the FDA pretty damning evidence on children aged 12 to 15. They clearly state the data showed that this was harmful to children, that the benefits did not outweigh the risks. And they told the FDA to cover up the data.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's literally
in black
criminal
and
collusion.
White.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's in black and white. This isn't, it's in black and white, Mike. Literally. They told us. They're like, there's no way this can help kids from our data. We're going to start. They literally scrapped those kids. I'm sorry to use that term, and started over with a new batch of kids and did antibody testing instead of infection.
So why isn't, I mean, what about the Attorney General of the state of Florida, or what about the Surgeon General of the state of Florida? You know, I mean, he's been outspoken about a lot of this. But what about the AG of states? Are you getting this document into the hands of various AGs around the country?
I have sent it to AG Moody. I've gotten no response. AG Moody is Florida's Attorney General.
Okay.
Yeah. I have not gotten this, you know, I hope to be able to get into communications with AG Paxton in Texas.
Yes.
But I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I'm kind of ignored. I don't have a seat at the table.
Well, but that, I mean, all, by design, we are all pushed to the margins. They want to silence us all.
Yeah, I mean, I was originally in discussions like with Senator Ron Johnson, and then, certain other experts determined. There's determinations being made that the other thing is I'm a med legal advisor. I'm an analyst. I literally prepare documents like this that can stand up in a court of law, you know? So I would love to get in touch with these attorney generals, you know?
Well, maybe, too. Yeah, we can probably help to some degree with that. But it seems like, you know, obviously pharma plays a very big role in a lot of governorships. a lot of campaigns, a lot of states across the country, and of course pharma doesn't want any of this to come out. I mean, what if this liability shield were pierced through a class action lawsuit or a criminal prosecution of some kind, and then it turned out that, well, these drug companies are liable for all the damage and all the deaths that have happened? I mean, this could bankrupt Pfizer and other companies.
It would bankrupt the other companies, and it would bankrupt synthetic biology and parts of the biotech industry, because they're using what they call mRNA technology is the lipid nanoparticle gene editing technology. So SynBio, synthetic biology, is a huge division within biotechnology. The DOD just gave $500 million in this first quarter funding synthetic biology. So that's using lipid nanoparticle technology in food, water, animals, everything, using LNPs to create new species. James Clapper in 2016, former IC advisor under Clinton, said that this lipid nanoparticle technology was a weapon of mass destruction, because when you're forcing the evolution, when you're directing the evolution, your gene editing of species, you're forcing its extinction.
Wow. This is like an extinction protocol targeting human children. Let's go to point nine.
Yep.
You say 40% of Florida residents who were early recipients of the injections experienced serious harm or injury, and they were unable to work or perform other daily activities. And this comes out of the V-Safe database. So, I mean, right there, there's more evidence.
Yeah, and this is, you know, this is 10 million people downloaded this app who got the injections early. They have 4 million active files, you know, across all 50 states. And it was consistent across all 50 states that 4 out of 10 people either had to go to urgent care, seek medical attention, or could not go to school or work or perform activities. The only state that was an anomaly was Texas. For some reason, it was 15%. But consistently, 4 out of 10 people. So if there was a school that was serving some kind of new organic milk, and then the next day, 4 out of 10 students and faculty didn't go to school because they were sick or had to go to the hospital or see a doctor because they drank the new milk, right? They would pull the milk.
Yeah, the milk would be banned.
Yeah, and if they didn't, a bunch of parents would show up with the cops and say, pull the milk and arrest the lunch lady, right? I mean, they wouldn't tolerate this.
Right.
You wouldn't keep serving it.
Go ahead.
But what?
Well, it's just, it seems like there's a total lack of willingness among local governors or law enforcement to go against the FDA, because the FDA says something, even though it's a total